We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everybody, before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special edition of the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today is our 2K coach, Frankie, and the great Siobhan. Now remember, you can watch us on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat to get in on the conversation. We stream every podcast live in addition to our post-game show, Hangover Time. We're doing good. Today's an episode very near and dear to my heart. It's an episode I've been wanting to do for a while, and it's not very often that I am backed up by prominent voices in the national basketball media, right? Nikias will oftentimes steal my takes, but he doesn't give me credit. But this time,
here we go.
I am backed up. We are doing the Harrison Barnes special here on Miami Heat Beat because Zach Lowe of ESPN fame, of formerly Grantland, kind of talked a little bit about the idea of Harry B to Miami. So I'm going to play a little clip from the Low Post podcast, which is like, you know, the second best basketball podcast after the Dunker Spot. Oh, third best after Dunker Spot and the Heat Beat offering. So I'm going to play a little clip of the Low Post.
If the Heat try to find that tweener forward that I mentioned, the two obvious places to start are Sacramento and Cleveland. And these are not going to be sexy names at all, which is why the sexier names will get more attention. If they could find a way to get Harrison Barnes into that role that he had with the Warriors, he would be unbelievable for Miami. Now, I don't know if they have the goods without a first round pick to trade. to get him. They would probably have to trade Achiuwa or at least one of their core rotation guys, plus the salaries, plus every second round pick they have, which, by the way, is not many because they've traded, I believe, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2025, 2020.
So there we go. We have Zach Lowe in my corner for Harry B.
Who's the second name?
It was Larry Nance.
It was Larry Nance. Okay. It was Larry Nance. Who just like and by the way, like, and as somebody asked me this on the timeline, I mean, we could talk a little bit about Larry before we get into the Harrison Barnes stuff. I mean, Siobhan, he would be like Larry Nance would be fucking spectacular here.
No, he would. He would be kind of bigger than that tweener, but still mobile enough, still agile, still like, you know, a freakish athlete to where he would, you know, hold his own defensively. I believed, you know, depending on how we play him. I don't watch a lot of Cleveland. Don't watch any Cleveland, not gonna lie. Because why would I need to? Colin, shout out to you. But I like the idea of Larry, especially, you know, he's been shooting a bit more lately. They play him at the, like, three, four, anyway. Yeah, 3-5, right? So that would be an interesting ass, you know, front court, he and Bam. And Jimmy, and then your two guards. So I like the name. Personally, I like Harry B, but I think I personally prefer Nance. But I understand why you want Harry B, so we can get into that.
I mean, honestly, like, I think either one would be perfect. Yeah. Right? Like, Larry shoots really well, so, like, Larry wouldn't hurt your offense. I think he kind of gives you less dimensions. But as a defender, like, he would make their defense, like, special. Like, Larry Nance, like, in the beginning of the season, he was legitimately, like, Larry Nance, defensive player of the year candidate? Question mark. His contract's very favorable. So, like, there's a lot of really good there. But Harry B. Day. So, Frankie, if I were to ask you, what are the Heat's biggest issues on offense? Right? Because I think their defense is pretty fucking good. What would you have said to me if I asked you, Frankie, like, the Heat's biggest problems are X?
It's health, first of all. Guard spot, a playmaker guard for it doesn't matter really, just a playmaker, two-way preferably, and a four spot guy so that he can play small like so wants to.
So I would argue in like a more macro sense, it's lack of downhill action and below average shooting. Because essentially, I guess what you mean with the guard is that they don't have a ball handler to kind of get you from top of the key to the rim in any kind of pick and roll or handoff situation, right?
To put pressure on the defense and make plays, make things easier for everybody.
And the Heat are like middle of the pack, almost below average in three-point shooting, which they were like near the top of the league last season. So knowing that, right, like looking at the numbers, watching the games, obviously like that Atlanta game was like, fucking hell on earth. Like it was all their bad problems like at once, right? Harrison Barnes, by the way, shout out to Curtis Hero for the gifted sub. Harrison Barnes is shooting 57% off drives to the rim. He is 1.08 points per possession as a pick and roll handler. It's really good. He's 0.93 points per possession as an isolation player, which that's just something Miami doesn't have in their offense. Like Jimmy doesn't even isolate. Goran is really the only guy who isos. Bam should do it more, but doesn't. And Harry is 1.23 points per possession as a spot up shooter, which is in the 86th percentile. So he's like one of the best in the league as a spot up shooter. He's a good 3-point shooter. He's really flirting with 50, 40, 80. You know, season splits. He gets to the line 5 times and change, which is almost what Bam gets. So you get a little bit of free throw kind of juice as well. He can play the 4. He can switch. Like, Siobhan, I know that, like, and I don't know, we're going to talk like trade packages in a second, but if he's here, I legitimately think Miami goes from, we'd be happy if they're a second round team to conference finals or finals.
Quickly, do you know? I don't know if you do. What are his measurables? What's his height? Like, how tall is he?
So he's about, I don't know exactly. I'll pull that up right now.
He's listed on B-Ball Reference at 6'8", 225.
See, I like that type of stuff. Height, wingspan, and weight. Because, again, you know, that's what we're missing, right? Size and that type of size. And, you know, what he offers in terms of offensive, you know, firepower, skill. I don't dislike that at all. I think that you're right.
6'11" wingspan, by the way, because I know
6'11". That's cool. Yep. See, rangy, that can be active, that can get into passing lanes. We do so much being in the passing lane, but we reach with the incorrect hand, so we take ourselves out of stuff all the time. It drives me nuts, as a little aside. I support it. You know, I back it. I'm good with what I believe, you know, it would maybe take also. Again, we can talk about that later, but I think it does raise your ceiling. It raises your morale. It raises, you know, your points per game. It just raises, you know, no pun intended, but it really does raise the temperature of the team. So. I thought about it as I knew it was going to come out, like, fuck,
that was a heat check. You were in a rhythm. I think I love it. I think everything that you said, and I think that just bringing in a guy who's averaging, you know, 17 points per game on really good efficiency, getting to the rim, kind of take pressure off of Jimmy, can play in it. So, like, and this is a problem. Shout out to the dunker spot with Nikias, and he was talking about this on his podcast on how the Clippers have Kawhi and Paul George, but they can't necessarily use them in actions together, because if one screens for the other, then that's an easy switch because they're similar sizes. So it's really counterintuitive.
They have the exact same game. Yeah. So there's literally, yes. Go ahead.
So with Barnes, I mean, he's a guy that could screen for Jimmy, and he can shoot, he can roll, he would bring a four into the game, which Jimmy loves getting fours to screen for him. He can use guard screens, which Miami loves to use, like Goran or Tyler coming to screen. And he's a guy, like, and if you remember, Frankie, in the LeBron years, that was like one of the pet Eric Spoelstra plays. Have Chalmers or Ray Allen come screen up top for LeBron, or coming off a Bosch screen, like they come up, right? They'll run like these multiple screen sets. And now LeBron has, you know, an advantage plus a small dude between him and the rim. Harrison Barnes, you know, with Miami's movement, is going to get a lot of that as well. Like, I just really like the fit. I think that he plugs their holes. I think that he can be used in tandem with the stars they have. He could help space for Bam. Like, to me, if there is a deal there, Frankie, it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. He's helped space the floor. He helps spread him off offense. He knows how to win. He's won a championship. He's played on really good teams. He's been a good leader for the Kings, even though that's a mess of an organization. But I'd like the fit. I think he's one of those guys that he fits anywhere, really. Like, there's the way he plays, he can play on the ball, play off the ball. He defends. He doesn't need the ball to be successful. He's unselfish. He's not like loud or anything that would be disrupt the locker room or anything like that. I think he's just a good guy that any team could use. And he definitely, they miss that element of their offense and their defense. Having a guy who can hit close to 40% from three, make plays, you know, help Bam out when Bam goes out on a switch or a trap. And he can stay low. He can definitely move his feet and pick and roll and help. He doesn't have to drop. He can switch. He can do it. He do a little bit of everything. So he's a guy. He's a guy that would absolutely do well here.
Just quickly. I like that. Like, his skill set transfers, because it's, for the most part, is fairly diverse. You know, he's able. He can do not exceptionally well, but he can do a lot of things, you know, above proficiency, you know, enough to you know, lead to success for him. So I agree. He's not a specialist by any means. Sometimes that makes you know, harder to sell and harder to acquire. But I think it is a really, really good fit, actually.
So the contract is favorable in a way, and I think that a lot of talk is done about the contract, and I'm going to get into some of Chat's concerns in a second. He's making $22 million this season, and he has a weird kind of contract in which his money declines every year. So he's making $22 million this season, and then next season he's making $20 million, and then the next season he's making $18 million, and then he's a free agent in 2023. So essentially, if you trade for him, you get him under team control for 2.5 seasons, which I think is good. And I think that at, you know, if you're paying Harrison Barnes the last year of his contract, $18 million, I don't think that's a big deal. Right?
Right. He's still relatively young. I believe he's 28 right now. So you're getting you're getting his prime years right when you need him. His contract expires the same time as Jimmy's, I believe. And it matches up well with Bam.
Perfect.
So it's really good. And like, you're not like, this isn't, if you trade Precious or Duncan, then you're not paying those guys anyways. And Tyler's rookie deal will be up by then too. So
it makes too much sense
for the Heat. Like, that's
for the Heat.
For the Heat.
For the salary. So the other thing I wanted to get to, and because some people are like, well, the contract and the salary cap space. Remember, the Heat aren't going to have a ton of cap space in 2021, 2022, right? They're going to have about, you know, in the mid-20s in cap space. They're not going to have a max slot. And if they absorb Harrison, they can re-sign Duncan with the bird rights. So that's not going to be an issue for them. Re-signing Goran, I don't think, is also going to be an issue. They're probably going to give him some three for whatever, right? They're going to some sort of team for. I imagine that's kind of what there is. And my thing is, you know, you have a team last season that had a guy like Duncan producing on a nothing contract. You had guys like Tyler producing on a nothing contract. Jay Crowder producing for you on a nothing contract, right? Bam producing for you on a nothing. Kendrick Nunn. They had all these guys that were really cheap and they were able to kind of build around and they had a shot at it and they blew it, right? Because they don't have Giannis and that's gone. So now they have this cap space. They had to extend Bam. Now the dream is gone. And I think the idea of just waiting for free agency for this magical person that is nebulous has been kind of what the organization has done since LeBron left. And there's a guy that could potentially be available to be had. And you're just like, he's going to eat our cap space and our flexibility. You got to win now. Jimmy's 31 years old. Goran is up there. You know, you're not going to have Tyler cheap forever. You're not going to have Duncan cheap forever. You know, you have right now a core of guys that is affordable and good, and you need to capitalize on that. You can still add in the buyout market. So if you trade for him, right, and whatever you give up, you can still add a guy like Ariza at the buyout market or whoever becomes available, Blake Griffin, whoever the hell is available in the buyout market, you're going to be able to get because you have not only an injury exception, but you have the buy-only exception. You have cards to play.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Yep. That's what I was going to ask. So, they have other contractual, you know, pieces.
It makes sense. And I think that people complaining about it, like kind of, again, this nebulous idea of, you know, whatever for, and Siobhan, I saw you like shaking your head because it's been and I've fallen victim to it, but it's a little annoying that they keep waiting for the next guy and it just never happens.
It's so annoying. Like we gotta like be able to dream other things, right? It's okay. You know, that 2010, you don't like, the chances of that occurring with that type of star power, the way that it happened, what it, you know, kind of its ripple effects. Like, I don't know that you're going to see that replicated, right? So let yourself be open to moving on to other avenues of winning, other ways to win. And I think you're right to have an athlete, to have a multi-dimensional player like a Harrison Barnes on a contract while he's 28, he's still, you know, approaching prime, maybe if not, you know, a year or two out, like to have that under contract at a number that's steadily declining while still having your mid-level. You said we have the biannual also, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's ways that he fits that he doesn't hinder you. You're going to be overpaying guys who don't offer you enough to be worth the money. They don't offer you enough of an array of things. And we've seen what that looks like when our main guys are out. So I think it's a move to be had. Like you said, it matches up perfectly with some of the guys' expiring contracts and stuff like that. I like it.
So let's get into some of what chat's saying, because some chat's in on it, some of them's not. We have some people saying they need a traditional center. They can't do this anymore. They shouldn't play small. And Frankie, I get the concerns with that because, you know, the Lakers are big, right? And the damn Sixers are big, right? But I think that's a little overstated because in the finals, you know, really LeBron at the four with AD at the five is kind of where that ended up. And, you know, Jimmy is going to guard LeBron anyway. Like, you can't, you know, you're not asking a tradition. I mean, and like, what are you going to get a big stiff to guard Anthony Davis? Like, Anthony Davis is not posting you up. He's on the perimeter, like, killing you. So I don't understand. And with the Sixers, I mean, they play Joel, and a lot of times they're playing Ben Simmons at the four. I mean, like, what you want Bam guarding Embiid anyway. So who is going to go down low? And you're going to double anyway, because that's just how the Heat have always done it. Like, they're going to send help and they're going to rotate. I don't care who's on Embiid.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point in, like, really investing in, like, I mean, unless the guy is John Collins, but again, he's going to require a max and your money starts. Now that really gets even more money. You know, you're talking about Harry at 18 million and Collins at whatever, 28, almost 30 million. It starts to change.
You didn't fit. I was waiting, listening closely to see if you asked the question. You didn't.
I didn't. It was just kind of like I threw a bunch of words and topics. And
you kept talking. Kind
of, what do you think, Frankie?
Yeah, he implied the question.
I know. I'm just fucking with him.
This is how we work. It's kind of like I throw a bad lob. It's a lob without direction.
Okay.
He's Norris Cole throwing lobs out here.
Joey just didn't want to catch it. Joey let it sail.
Exactly. I think the fit thing with Bam being a 4-5, you know, Bam is very versatile. He's one of the few fives that can play the four consistently. But you it's the same thing as most of those guys. You need a guy who can space the floor and with him. If you're going to, like, you can play with Kelly, who's more of a five than a four, but that's because Kelly can theoretically is a shooter, not this year. And you need versatility. All these guys who are worried about the Heat playing small consistently, you know, they're playing really small most of the time. And you're playing with a four in Andre that can't give you the shooting or offensive weaponry that makes him a two-way player.
And he's a million years old.
Exactly. And with Jimmy and Bam not being shooters as well, that's where you're playing with three guys who Andre's the only one who shoots, and he's like very reluctantly a shooter. He hesitates on his wide open looks a lot. So you're missing out on those guys like a Jay Crowder, who's not that big. Jay Crowder's only like really like 6'6", 6'5".
He's like Harry size, kind of.
He's smaller than him. He's shooting guard.
He's shorter than him, but he's stockier.
Yeah, he's stockier. He's wide. But Harrison is wide too. And he's got the length. He's got the wingspan. And he's tough. But he's got the consistent shooting. He's way more of a consistent shooter than Jay, except for the 2016 finals when they needed him the most. But you need it. I think the long run, you're best off playing like that.
Can I say something about that? Because I've had a lot of people, my mentions, bringing that up. And then they transversely also bring up Trevor Ariza, who very famously had a game to beat the Warriors and missed. What did he miss, like 10 threes in that game?
Oh, it was
like, you can't do that to Harry and then say, I want Trevor Ariza. Yeah. Like, we can't do that.
He's the worst of those two options. I think Frankie, you're absolutely spot on, right? Like, the thing about a small ball lineup when it works is because it's like, so beautiful to watch. It's so delicate. Like, there's a very fine line between like the type of players that fit. And so I don't think that the issue is necessarily, I think we need more size and we could use a five, but a traditional five, unless we're going to change the complete way that we play. That's not feasible at the moment. So like when you commit to small ball though, you have to make sure it is the proper assemblage of pieces. And you can't like undervalue or overvalue any one kind of facet of one of those pieces, because you see very quickly, like when taking a J out, the whole equilibrium is thrown off, right? Yeah. And then you further remove DJ, and then more things of your offense and your defense kind of thrown off. Like, it's doable, but you have to make sure that the pieces cohere in a way that make it, you know, work.
So we ran a little poll on our Twitch chat. Which player would you not include in a trade for Harry B? And Tyler Hero won narrowly with 47% of the votes. Duncan barely with 42. 11% said any of them can go. Precious and Kendrick, people seem pretty quick to depart with. Which brings us to the trade scenario. So the homies at Crabsmut Peddler of the Deuces Podcast Network kind of put this trade together and on Twitter, and I kind of liked it. I am going to add a piece, though. So they're sending Harry. The Kings get Avery Bradley, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, Precious Achiuwa, a 2022 second round pick. And I would add Kendrick Nunn because I think that's right. I mean, like, that's just not enough for the Heat. And I think especially with Kendrick's play, kind of giving them another option at guard, another shooter, because God knows what they want to do with Buddy Hield. I think that trade works for the Heat. I think I've asked some Kings people. They said, do you have a couple more second rounders? Which, at that point, can you flip Kendrick for some second rounders? You know, they have guys that I think they can flip for some second rounders to get that done. You know, I think you want to give Myers over Olynyk because Olynyk's just playing for you. You kind of need the body. Yeah. I think Andre, too. Which I want to bring up
Andre, too, what?
Andre, you need to keep him. Yeah, look.
Okay.
I mean, I was going to ask you in a second, like, who would you rather keep, KO or Andre? But like, before we get into that, like, is there, how do you feel about that trade? People said it's not, people in chat say it's not realistic. I've asked Kings people and they said, that's pretty good. That'll be about what we would ask for, except if you can get a couple more second rounders, then it gets interesting.
See? I love back-to-back, sorry, Sean, but back-to-back comments, it's, that's a lot for Harry B, and the second one's like, that's not even realistic.
See? That's nuts, right? because I believe both of those things are correct, right? Like, if that is what that takes, like, if that's all that takes, and to me, that's a... if that's all type of situation, if that's all that takes, then that's absolutely what you do. Like, the further away you can stay from the names of Hero and Duncan, then you do that. And then Iguodala, you know, we'll talk about KO versus Iggy, you know, later. But yeah, I think you absolutely do that. And if, you know, Kendrick is like the most prized of that package of pieces. And if that's what that requires, still without...
Oh, you think over Achiuwa, you think Nunn is a more valued?
I think they both are. I think Kendrick sweetens it. Like you said, you would just throw it in. If they don't ask for it, I don't throw him in.
Because Kendrick has to get paid. Right. Kendrick's a free agent next season. I think
he needs to be real. Well, I guess there'll be a market for him. I don't know.
Because he could get like a decent contract. He's not going to get like a...
Right. So like then, okay. So if six, see?
Restricted, I think, free agent.
See, if six is absorbable, then I would keep that. But if that's, you know, the next highest of the name of pieces that it required to get Harrison, I think you do it too. I'm super cool with that trade package. And I like Precious. And I really, really like Precious. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah, for them, I think Precious is definitely the headline of that package. And it works out for them because Bagley is very much not a five. He's, as Nikias says, he's one of the worst drop defenders in the history of basketball. Just has like no defensive instincts at all. And Rashawn Holmes is going to be a free agent after this year. And Precious, it was the first year on his rookie deal, two-way guy. He can guard one through five. He's athletic, rebounds, hustles.
He's great upside.
I'm sure good screener
for those guards.
He's going to be beloved. He's going to be everything that Hassan Whiteside isn't. And that's exactly what you look for in a big.
Baby Bam. See, yep. Hassan going to have nightmares again. Holy hell, yes. Precious to Sacramento.
Poor Ben Hassan. Why do they follow me?
I agree.
I agree with y'all. I don't think Kendrick should hold up a deal. If I mean, we know that, you know, Duncan was what held up the Harden deal, and I hope that again, this is all hypothetical, but like, if it comes to, I do hope the organization has learned from its mistakes, and I just think that the Heat have proven that you can replace these guys. Some people in chat are like, so your only three guards are gonna be Gabe, Goran, and Tyler. Yep. Sounds good to me. I mean, like, it is what it is. I mean,
then you use those other things and you fill out, right? You have, go ahead, my bad, you.
No, go.
No, go.
Listen, we're a community of interrupters. So if you interrupt me, you go, I go. We run clunky offense. This is not how we go.
So, okay. So yeah, you have those three guards, whatever, but you still, I think you still get more in the return than what you have right now. That's not doing the things for you that the return will be able to do.
Like, I think that Harry would just do a lot, like not a lot of ball handling, but I mean, I think between him and Jimmy, enough, like on the perimeter. That's, you don't need the guard. I mean, like, think of the big three Heat. Like, what were their guards? It was Tyler. Norris, Chalmers, right? And Ray Allen. Yeah, that, and Dwayne, I guess.
Yeah.
But Norris and Chalmers didn't really handle the ball. They were just spot up guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that Gabe can do that. And Tyler will handle. So,
Max.
The Struth.
Mr. Fourth Quarter. We've gotten so much mileage out of Mr. Fourth Quarter.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think it was that funny until Joey kept calling him that on Hangover Time.
It's funny because it's ridiculous.
It is. My favorite is because he doesn't play third quarters at all. He's always, he starts the fourth quarter and he hits.
He did yesterday.
He hits a three and it's like, whoa, Mr. Fourth Quarter. Good for him. Oh.
So we have Tiff in chat says, Jimmy, quote, I got old knees. That's what we do in G. Listen, it is what it is.
Her voice.
It's fine. What I mean, it's not like Kendrick Nolan was doing a lot of ball handling a couple weeks ago, right? This is found money for them.
We also weren't winning a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, Harry, I mean, you got to give up stuff. It's always going to hurt. You call Isaiah Thomas, you hit him up, you'd be like, IT, what's going on, man? Are you want to work?
Shabazz, Napier,
Norris Cole is playing in France. He's available.
Mario Chalmers.
Let's. Briante Weber has had a million stints here. Why not
he's
one more?
He's in Paris.
Like, let's go. Like, there are dudes to play. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with Harry.
So what did the poll say? What did the poll say between Tyler and Duncan?
Tyler, they don't want to trade, which I agree with.
Yeah,
I agree.
If you can build a package with it, on a credit, I think it was C.H. Torres that said it. That like Leonard, Kelly, and Precious, if that's an easier deal to make because the Kings will have to cut as many bodies and stuff. That I think that works, especially because you're getting rid of two rotation players, but you can probably find a free agent big to play a few 12 minutes that Bam doesn't play. Dwayne Dedmon, you can do that. Silva is a free agent. He can play a little bit off the Kelly role. DeMarcus Cousins, if you want to go that route. I don't think he'll agree for a 12-minute playing time, but there's options.
If you're Riley, I mean, you call him and you'd be like, listen, dude, I understand you want to start and shit, but like we have a chance to be special.
Yeah.
I mean, can you come off the bench for 12 minutes behind Bam? We're not asking you to go behind a dude never heard of.
Right.
Yeah, legit all NBA caliber center. Like, yeah. Yo, can you back them up for 12 minutes? Give everything you have. You'll get your shots up, and let's try to win a fucking championship. And you're doing it in a nice city. Right. You're not asking them to go to a flyover. I don't want to make fun of Indiana or something. But like, it's a place like the damn Pacers or something. Like,
Oklahoma. You
know, yeah, Yogi Ferrell.
It's nice here.
Make me and G and Jack happy. You'll bring Yogi Ferrell.
Why are you including me in the Yogi Ferrell?
I said you by mistake.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not an Indiana guy.
We'll bring Lynn Sanity back to Miami.
No.
You see that? You see what Jeremy Lin was used for?
Yeah, it was terrible.
That was awful. Why are you picking on Jeremy? It's horrible. Okay, so
different conversation.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that.
It's okay. No, it's fine.
And this is going to be a conversation that I feel we're going to come into quite a bit going into trade season, because I think Andre and KO both have value to teams, right? Like, I think Andre has been really good for them, and I think Andre should be a tool in the kit, not the tool you use every day, which is what the Heat have had to do.
Yeah.
And they've survived with it, but I think in reality, you want Andre to be something that Andre at the four in particular is. That's an option we can go to, but it's not what we should always go to, right? So he's really helpful for them. And obviously, we've talked ad nauseum about how good KO has been even without his shooting. So I asked both of y'all, we can start with Siobhan. Like, if it comes to sometime in trade time, and I know that the player is going to matter, but just let's just say, who would you rather keep? Who is more important to this team's success going forward? Is it Andre or Olynyk?
Man,
it's close.
It's closer than it should be, right?
It is funny that it's close because Olynyk's a goofy looking dude, and right? Andre is this chiseled Adonis of a human.
I'm gonna go with Andre because
that's fair.
Same argument, right? when he's on. So when Andre is on, he's giving you something on both ends. When Kelly is on, he's
one and a half ends.
I'm saying, like, when Andre is cooking, like playoff Andre, you expect to get like, okay, like 1 3/4 of the ends, right? And then, you know, Kelly clicking, I don't know. I think it's Andre. I think for fluidity of offense, maybe it's Kelly, but for, you know, stopping a bucket, it's Andre. I don't know. I tend to lean toward Andre.
What about you, Frankie?
I love Andre. I've loved Andre since he was in Philly, but I'm going to go Kelly just because I think Kelly's function, even when Kelly's bad, the team plays well with him on the floor. And Andre, you know, like, while he knows where to be offensively most of the times, he's still like, there's still times where he's cutting and just standing in the paint and just trying to pass around the perimeter, and he's like trying to intercept it and deflects his own team's passes. He's not a good finisher anymore. He's not a good shooter anymore. You know, he is very important for the defense. Defensively, he's been great, way better than he was last year. But it's, I feel like that's more replaceable than how much of a negative he is on offense. And I think Kelly, the shooting, even though he hasn't been shooting well, he still brings gravity for now. And we'll see if the team switch up how they defend him. But he still brings gravity, and you see the offense working while he's on the court.
I feel the exact opposite of what you just said. Go ahead,
Gio. No, you go.
That's good though. That.
No, I feel like the literal opposite because Kelly, even – go ahead.
I'm sorry. But this is – are we saying just in general or, like, specifically on, like, a Harry B trade?
Like, in general.
Okay, in general, like, I'd rather keep Kelly. If it's for Harry B, then I could see the benefit in keeping Andre because you're going to play Harry B at the four more than Kelly.
So Tiff in chat says if you're adding offense, you know, you don't need Kelly. He becomes more expendable, which I agree.
Yeah, so the team functions well even with Kelly not shooting well. So you can approximate a guy being able to, like, give you some gravity and still not necessarily, you know, hit, especially if, you know, you're getting back offense, what you're losing. I don't know. I confused myself with my thoughts, but initially, like, I felt the exact opposite of what, because we've seen that, like, you think defense is replaceable. Like, you feel like that's something you can go out and get, and it should be, but I don't know. It's not.
No, I mean, both skills are very valuable. I mean, you can't really differentiate offense and defense, like which one's more important as a role, especially as a role player. I just think the team functions better with a spacer at the second big spot.
That's fair.
Than Andre. Like, Andre, you don't want Andre playing like you. I mean, really, you don't want either of these guys playing more than 20 minutes a game. but I feel like Andre right now, like his ideal role is like 15 to 12 minute player, you know, spot guy. And like, I also, part of it is also the age. I don't know if Andre's going to hold up. He hasn't had a chance to get a day off all season. So what are the likelihood that this 36, 37 year old is going to hold up and be ready to go for playoff time?
I will say this, come playoff time, because if you're doing a trade like this, you obviously have to really think about the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Come playoff time, when rubber hits the road and you're playing the Nets and you're playing the Celtics and you're playing the Bucks, what matters is how many wing defenders and coverages can you throw at these special offensive players, right? And I think we've all been in agreement that the Olynyk thing is nice and cute in the regular season, but when it comes in the playoffs and when Brooklyn decides Kevin Durant's playing the four, Olynyk can't be on the court. That just goes away, right? And when the Bucks downsize with Giannis at the four, Olynyk has to leave, right? And that would be the case if John Collins played as well, by the way. And I don't think people realize that once these teams, like, these guys can't guard KD. Maybe you can against the Nets and you can hide John Collins on Jeff Green or something. But, I mean, if then they can downsize even more, put KD at the five, and it doesn't matter. And that actually might help their defense, like, low-key. But we're not taking into that. But when rubber hits the road and they got to guard these teams, and the Celtics are another team that can go really, really small with Marcus Smart at center and Jason Tatum at the four, and they have a lot of offensive firepower. And I'm asking, Brad says, geez, rubber's never hit anything.
You said it twice, too. You said it twice.
I just peeked at chat. Brad loves the duck. I just think that matters. And I think that in this league, you need to be able to do a couple of things to win a championship. One of them is be able to switch on defense and throw a bunch of coverages at star players. And the other thing is shoot well. And if you tick both those boxes or one and a half of those boxes, which I think Andre and Kelly are both like kind of two halves of a complete player.
Yeah.
I think you can replace Olynyk's not production, but just kind of
contributions.
Yeah. Easier than Andre. Because Andre is like, I mean, he guarded LeBron in the finals last season. He guards Giannis. He guards, I mean, Simmons. He will spend time on Tobias Harris, Jason Tatum, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam. Like all these guys, these long athletic players, you want to keep Bam off of them until the end game. Because you don't want Bam to pick up fouls.
And when he's not directly guarding them, he's conducting the defense. You know, he's getting guys in position. He's talking, you know where he is in his zone.
I think I may go Andre. I think I'm on Siobhan's side, which is weird because like we all know I'm like the Kelly hipster. I love
Oh yeah. I mean I don't think you're finishing, I'm not saying close games with Kelly either.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I know you're not.
But I think you can address some of if not a lot of what Andre brings to you in the buyout market in other ways with another veteran. I don't know who. We obviously don't know who's going to be available at that time. But if they get rid of Kelly instead of Andre as the salary filler, I'm not going to be like upset about it. Like Andre can still contribute. He definitely knows how to play winning basketball and. He brings that finals MVP experience.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment. So kind of now that we're talking about like defense and stuff, I really wanted to get into what happened on Inside the NBA yesterday, which, by the way, like I really love the Tuesday show. I love Dwayne and Candace. Yes. They're great. I just love Dwayne and Candace. Like they make me happy. I wish they replaced the other crew. I wish they would just get rid of Shaq and then have like Dwayne, Candace, and Kenny. And that'd
bring Vince Carter on there.
No,
you don't like Kenny. You're out on Kenny.
It's not fun enough. Kenny, you need
Chuck.
You need a wild card.
Okay, Chuck. Wait, Dwayne, Candace, and Chuck.
I think maybe you just expand the roster.
Expand.
Yeah, outside of there.
But it was great. And yesterday, you know, there's been a lot of conversation lately, especially about, you know, kind of analytics. I guess this is not an extension of the analytics conversation, but this is more kind of how modern basketball has been really different than basketball, you know, even 10 years ago, right? Like even in the Big Three era, like the game was played very differently. So I want to play a clip from Inside the NBA in which Candace Parker is teaching Shaq modern pick and roll coverages.
Kind of pick and roll, but I do think that Jokic, like the NBA switches now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
why? Whatever happened?
Because everybody can shoot threes.
Whatever happened to man up?
Because you're going to be manning up, trying to recover back to your man, and they're going to hit a three just like Jokic did.
No, but whatever happened to pre-rotating and
then they move the ball around. And
you got 4 to 5 3-point shooters on the court. You ain't going to rotate enough time.
Not rotating. Not rotating.
Yeah, but you got to take the easy pass away. Like, if you ain't going to switch, you got to take the easy
pass. So that's what I'm saying.
Now you have guys that can throw the ball from one side of the court and find the guy in rhythm.
But that easy 1-5 pick and roll, the big is so far back like Shaq used to be all the time.
And we won a championship.
But here you go. Just throwing a shot at you, big fella. I love you.
No, but did we win a championship?
We did.
Thank you.
Because you started getting up on the screen.
it's tremendous. I like it sucks because you don't have like Candace's face of like she's like looking. Like Shaq has like his mouth open, like, you know, and then Candace is like, how do I explain to this dude basketball?
Yeah, it was great.
It's so funny because Shaq is like, you know how they always say like star players are like the worst coaches because they got to explain like if the game comes so easy to them. That's Shaq, man. Shaq never had to worry about that. Shaq could not rotate anything defensively. And you think Phil Jackson's going to take him off out of the game and shit? He's going to stop playing him 40 minutes a game? It's Shaq.
It's like I feel because I get the essence of where he's coming, right? Like lamenting what kind of the game has become, like the change that has taken place over these Steph Curry years of basketball, right? And like, you want to go back, you want to be able to play those traditional coverages because you want to hit the paint and drive and like challenge at the rim. I find myself still desiring like a lot of those qualities of basketball, but it's just not realistic. It's just not realistic. Like that's not how the game is being played, you know, currently. And Candace's face is perfect because she's absolutely like offended at Shaq's, like almost not calling Shaq dumb, but she's just like, how do I like explain to this man without owning him? But like, still like, why? She was like really flabbergasted.
She's like, let me try to be respectful, right? But you know, teach
I'm about
you a
to
little
frame
bit.
You, yeah. Let me give you some, Shaq. It's a different era.
D Wade kind of coming in is also like funny. Like D Wade's like, all right, I got you. I'm gonna help him. He needs his assist.
And then Shaq, we won the championship. Yeah, motherfucker. When you,
I won the championship. Won the championship.
No, it's definitely.
What did you do?
Definitely one. Like, I agree with you, Siobhan, because I feel like there needs to be a balance. Like this, yes. I feel like the league has trended way too far in the direction of spacing of beyond the arc, and I think it all goes back to how they call the game. You can be real rough and physical inside, and on the perimeter, you can't breathe on somebody without them calling a foul. So, I feel like if they went back into a little balance and stuff of the rule changes and you know, made it easier for the post guys to get a bucket inside and stuff like that, I think it'd be great for the league. I feel like the game is more enjoyable that way when it's a balance of inside out scoring and passing instead of just pick and roll, hit the open pass, shoot a three.
Oh my gosh, 301 fast breaks and like everyone sprays beyond the arc drives me nuts. Everyone like, oh, it's my soul.
I don't think that's as much a product of analytics.
Yes, it is because they're now taught that like the three is the more profitable, is the more efficient shot. I don't give a fuck. Take the layup.
That's not true though. The layup that like, I don't know, like real analytics would tell you a layup is the most profitable shot. Like a shot at the rim is the most valuable shot. Second is the corner three.
That's my so it's like all three of them spray to the there's no one still taking well, that, like north.
Are you talking about the Washington game?
I'm talking about basketball as a
whole. No, I've seen
like
it. I've
what
seen
I
it.
Feel just in general.
No, because like she says in general, like Curry is going to the 3-point line in transition.
Yeah,
but he can do it.
Yeah, he can
it's
do
how
it.
How I feel about like
he can do it.
No, of course. Now. But yeah, but that's the thing. You see Trae Young doing it all the time.
Like Tyler shouldn't do it.
Yeah, Tyler should not
but
do that.
But Steph and Dame can.
Yeah,
right.
But that's the thing.
Iggy, I don't want you doing it. Iggy, give me a layup, Iggy. You don't have to like
run your damn lane, Iggy. God, damn.
I would rather Andre trail the man on the ball to clean up a miss.
I'm just talking about like, just general like.
No, you gotta run your lane, bro.
That bad. Like
a 2-on-1 lane.
I do think that there's a utility in at least one or two guys kind of spreading the floor for the ball handler.
One.
Because if you're running with him, then you're just drawing help. So, I mean, I think if one guy, you know, on the right is hitting to that corner and you kind of give that man an easy outlet if your man does help, I do think there's a utility in that. I do agree that, like, these dudes just shouldn't, like, stop at the break, right, and wait for a pass. Like, that's kind of dumb.
It all depends on your advantage. Because, like you said, like, if there's a guy running to his lane to the corner and you have it's a 3-on-2 and you have two guys collapsing inside taking away the layup, then obviously you kick out for the three.
That's what I mean.
That's terrible defense.
Yeah. but like I'm saying, like if the layup is the open one and you keep working the shot, you keep passing up layups to get a three, that's
fucking annoying. That's annoying. Jimmy Butler basketball.
That's Heat basketball. That's everybody on this damn team.
Yeah.
But besides Kendrick, bothers me? To shoot. Because, like, so there's been a lot made of, like, Brad Stevens' offense that, like, they just have never gotten field goal attempts at the rim. Like, they're always, like, last in the league at, like, shots at the rim, which is kind of crazy, right? Because that's why their offenses have generally stunk, because they don't get easy shots, right? But they do shoot a lot of threes, but their offense has never been good. The Heat get a lot of action to the rim. They just have the dudes passing out of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, SPO teams have always been, how do we use space, screening, and movement to get us easy shots? How do we get to the basket, and how do we get free throws and open jumpers?
Yeah.
And the rest has been nonsense. And then you want a guy like Jimmy or Dwayne to get you, like, that pull-up midi when you need it. But
see, even in Dwayne's latter years, right, in the LeBron years, and you see them doing it a little bit, or I've caught it a few times. LeBron will drive from like the left wing, and Dwayne has found himself like behind the defense on the right baseline, and at the like perfect timing, right fluidity, right motion, LeBron drives, Dwayne cuts, and it's that little dump off. We've seen it, or I've seen it a couple times. I forget with who exactly. Yeah, like your offense is going to function as well as, you know, the pieces that it's built off of.
Yeah,
we need these two more. So, okay, we don't want to take too much more time because we're running on time. I did want to preview a little bit of Heat Pels because that's their last game before the break. And Siobhan is a big BI fan. So
love
she's
him so much.
She's our Pels expert. So I think it's kind of interesting that they have a really good offense. Like their offense has been humming lately and they don't play with space. And what's going on there, Siobhan?
So they don't play with space, but they have the other things. They have size in the guard spot. They have dynamic guards. They have a Brandon Ingram, who is a weird type of size. And they have, you know, a dude with a motor that's going to, you know, look to punish guys, even if, you know, too quick on the draw in Zion. They have, there's, you know, multiple ways to skin a cat. But I really enjoy the way that they've, you know, figured out how to do it. I like traditional kind of two big lineups and figuring out how to make that work. I still find value in that. I understand where the game is currently. But again, that's you either like build your roster based on how you want to play, or you build your scheme based on what your roster allows you to do, but they have to be in harmony. And I think the marriage of their roster and the way that Stan wants to play is a pretty good marriage.
They're interesting because their defense is similar to the Heat's, where they don't allow anything at the rim. And they're like the Heat, they bleed threes. And we're going to get into this on the pregame tomorrow. Siobhan's on pregame, so you're going to get a little bit more in depth. But that's going to be something that you want to look at, and how the Heat are going to attack that kind of those corner shots. And a lot of that Duncan relocation is going to be huge. A lot of maybe a Max Strus game, not going to lie. hopefully that'll get Kelly going. I mean, if the Heat don't hit anything, then they don't really stand a chance, even with Jimmy. Because, I mean, they really give nothing at the rim. And it's been... but your boy B.I. has played well. Lonzo's there. Eric Bledsoe. They have a lot of really good perimeter defenders. They play tough. Their offense is finally coming along. So that'll be a fun game. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Frank, if you had anything to add.
Yeah, definitely what you said, that they pack the paint in. They start four good defenders, and Zion's improving. But end of the day, they start Eric Bledsoe. Goran Dragic is Eric Bledsoe's daddy.
Gutless.
We know this. Heat in five all the way.
Is there a better player that the Heat have just so thoroughly embarrassed? I mean, I guess Eric does it to himself. legit looked useless.
James Harden.
That's true. But James wasn't James then. James wasn't James then.
No, he wasn't.
He was like, you know.
Giannis.
That shocked me, by the way. I'll never forget when he wanted to be the guy in Houston, and I was like, I mean, okay. Really? Are you that good?
All right. Let's see what you got.
I always thought he was better than Russ, but even I was impressed.
That was
by
a
that.
Crazy take at the time.
I just thought they functioned better with him. There was a reason their clutch time lineups were Harden running the offense, because Russ is looking for that one assist pass. He did the Rondo. I'm looking for the play that's going to lead me to the basket, not the play that might need this pass to be the extra pass. You know,
Trae Young has a little bit of that in him.
Oh, a lot of that. Trae Young definitely knows his box score.
Trae Young's even track. Speaking of kind of like the passes and stuff like that, I was listening to the Low Post the other day, and I heard a crazy stat that the Celtics average 2 hockey assists a game. Only 2. Think about how many possessions are in a basketball game. Yeah. Think of how often Jason Tatum is trapped or double teamed. And they only get 2 a game. I mean, the Heat have like, I think the Heat lead the league, or they're like the top 3. And I know that like assists,
they're
especially
still,
when Jimmy plays, they're like through the roof.
They're still missing Smart though, right?
Yeah, they. I think Smart, Kemba.
Kemba just got back. He's been playing.
And Brown.
He's been playing better. Played
28 yeah, minutes.
That's a function of their roster, though, right? See, they have the ISO guys that can break a play and like stop the momentum of a hockey assist. Miami's not afforded, you know, that luxury. We have to work the ball around to get good shots, because we don't. We're not just outright, flat out talented like that.
Yeah, Jimmy and Bam want to give the ball up. They're not trying to shoot the ball.
I don't know why.
Schmeathan in chat says that package that G mentioned earlier for Harry B can also get you Lonzo. I mean, listen, if they strike out, I would not mind Lonzo Ball here. That sounds really nice.
Me either. That would be great.
I don't think the Pelicans give up on him, and they're playing well.
They shouldn't. They'd be dumb too.
I mean, they don't want to pay him, and that's going to factor into that. But I mean, he's been playing really well. He's shooting the ball well for them.
Yeah, but that's I don't think Precious does it for that one for them. I think you have to give up Duncan or Tyler. Yeah.
And at that point, I'm like,
I'm out.
So
Ninjared in chat asks, what is a hockey assist? So essentially what it is, it's kind of a secondary pass. So think about a trap, right? So if you come and double your man and you give the ball up to that first defender, to that first teammate, and the help man then comes, and then he'll pass it till swing pass. So when that swing pass is an assist, so when you're doubled
to make it easier.
Right, why are you making
to make it
so
easier?
What am I doing? Yeah, what am I doing? I'm so sorry.
To make it easier, chat. If I pass it to G and G passes it to Siobhan and she makes a bucket, that I don't get an assist, G gets the assist, but it's basically a hockey assist for me.
A hockey assist, right? It's the
what
bucket.
What did I do?
It's the bucket on the second pass.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, that was the most NBA Twitter thing I've ever done.
Me and Siobhan were both lost, and we're like, we know basketball.
I was with you like for a really long while, and then Frankie popped down. I was like, okay, I'm gonna let it go.
But Frankie's like, we're pulling the plug on this shit.
Yo, man, this will never happen on StreamBeat like this.
Just, you know, we've had like three chances of this, like, to have a hard out, which we know how much Heatbeat loves hard outs. But I would be remiss if I didn't promote what we're doing, all our offerings. So real quick, the Locker Room, download Locker Room. If you have an iPhone or an iPad or any sort of iOS device, download Locker Room. It is a platform. It's kind of like Clubhouse, yep, or like Discord voice chat where you can talk with us. And we're going to be doing, we're committing to two a week. We're going to do two Locker Room sessions that's like around, they're going to be like mid-morning shows. Alf is going to host them, Alf or me, whoever it's available. And we're going to talk Heat. We're going to talk Heat for like 25 to 30 minutes. You guys can come in. You can talk to us. We can give you the floor. We do a little show. So join us for that. Join us on Locker Room. Follow at Alf954 or at GNavas103. We tweet the links a lot. So if you just look, we'll tweet it out with the pod as well. To follow us there and kind of all that information. It's a cool thing. We did our first one today. Siobhan, you were on.
It was awesome.
I was on.
It was fun. Like, it's Clubhouse for sports. It was super interactive. It felt good.
I see a lot of y'all from chat. We're in there. Mm-hmm. So join us. That's super fun. Remember, Hangover Time after every single game at the buzzer, win, lose, whatever. We're going to have fun. So check us out. Pre-game show, always 30 minutes before the game. Our Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. We're going to plan the next watch party. I think maybe we're going to shoot for the first week when they come back from All-Star break. So if you're not, if you are a $10 patron and you want to watch basketball with us, you know, join us. I think Siobhan was interested in the next one. Alf was. Last one was me, Frankie, and Jack. And we hung out with our patrons.
And Brass. And
Brass.
Don't exclude Brass. Come
Brass
on.
Came like at the end, though.
Brass came. All right.
He came.
Brass came.
Wonder Pause. Producer.